Come on, aren't you glad to be the people of God, the victorious ones? I don't know about you, but I am. Well, good morning. It is a beautiful day for a Jayhawk victory and for a time in the Word of God and in the presence of God. If you have your Bible this morning, would you turn it to Matthew chapter 13? I'm going to continue in our message, in our series about atmosphere, the atmosphere of revival. And we're talking about the fact that we're believing God for a revival, rather, in our church and in our city that's characterized and evidenced by many people being saved and healed and set free and strengthened to stand in God's word and strengthened in relationships with other believers, and not just strengthened, but then moving forward in God's purposes. And so we use that word, and a lot of us can have different connotations about what revival is and what it isn't. And we're talking about the fact that personally in our own lives and corporately over our church and over our city and even over our nation, there's an atmosphere that either hinders the work of God or releases the work of God in our lives. And so revival is something that God wants to do, not just in a church, not just in a city, but he wants to do it personally in your own heart. Revival is so much more than a series of meetings. It's more than a conference. It's more than a tent meeting out on the grounds of a church. Those are great things to do and great things to be a part of. But it's something that God wants to do in your life. When it's an event on a calendar, we tend to visit revival and then we go back to our ordinary lives. God wants to continually be reviving us, restoring us to life, fullness of life in Christ. That's the heart of God for you. And it's the heart of God for me. And it's for now. It's a present tense thing. Jesus said, the kingdom of God, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. God wants to be moving and working in your life. It's not something that you'll someday get to. God wants to heal you and set you free right here and right now so that you can begin to connect to and move into the plans and the purposes and the dreams and the destiny that he has for you in his kingdom. Man, I just sensed this morning that already God's done some amazing work in a few of our hearts. And I think maybe it's even felt corporately, like just a season of resistance and opposition and spiritual heaviness. But I believe today, because the way that even the worship went this morning, there were just a couple of times we weren't really planning for the Lord to interrupt and just minister to us. And I believe today that there's a few of us that really, just like Pastor Eli said, we were here this morning. We came here this morning just almost at the end of our rope or about to hit rock bottom. And I'm just so grateful. I feel like the Lord, what we sang in that third song for the cross, that it is finished. That Jesus declared as he prepared to breathe his last, he's declared it is finished. I believe today there's some voices, some schemes, some lies, some traps, some areas of despair and depression and discouragement that today the Lord Jesus Christ just entered in with his loving presence in our life and he just said, it's finished. It's finished. Come on, does someone have faith to receive that for your own life this morning? I know I do. And I'm just so grateful for what God is already doing and is going to do as we continue to visit his word. God's continually looking to restore you to the fullness of life in Christ. So what he did this morning for some of us, he's reviving us. He's bringing us back to life. Revival means this. These are literal definitions of the word revival, an improvement in the condition or strength of something, an instance of something becoming popular, relevant, active, or important once again. How many of you know that we need that to happen in our nation as it regards the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word? It's a reawakening of activity or fervency. It's a restoration to physical, mental, or spiritual life, vitality, and success. That's what revival is. And in our lives and in our church and in our city, there's an atmosphere, again, that will either hinder God's revival or will lead to it springing forth in our life. Jesus healed them all in some places, but he went to Nazareth, and it says he could only heal a few because of the atmosphere over that city, the way they viewed Jesus. And so there's a God responds to atmosphere. This is important. God responds to atmosphere. We respond to atmosphere. We live in a natural atmosphere that we sometimes more quickly understand how to discern and feel atmospheres. But there's a spiritual atmosphere over your life. And God wants us to, in the same way or even in a deeper way,
that we learn how to discern natural atmospheres, you know, things that you can just feel. You know, something that, like I've used a few examples, there's atmosphere in restaurants. You can sense when the atmosphere of the momentum in one of these March Madness games begins to shift and change. Sometimes when someone walks into the room, the atmosphere just shifts. We learn to sense these things. And in the same way, God wants us to begin to discern the spiritual atmosphere over our lives. The places where there are hindrances or lids or limits that have kept some of the things that God wants to move forward in our life from happening. He wants us to begin to discern these things so that we can begin to shift them. That's what I want to talk with you about today, is some practical steps. Once we realize it's important, once we learn to begin to discern and to recognize, how do we begin to shift? What is our part to play to begin to walk out and begin to not just be hearers and believers of some things that God said, but to also begin to be doers and speakers and activators of some things that God has made possible for us? How do we begin to shift the atmosphere? It's important, guys, because the spiritual atmosphere over your life will determine much of the course of your life. And if you have your Bible this morning, did I already ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 13? It's kind of the core passage for this series that we're in, and I'm going to read a little bit less of it this week than I have previously. And picking up in verse 4, it's the parable of the sower, the seeds that are sown. And many of you know it even better than I do. The seed fell in multiple different atmospheres, different environments in it. Some atmospheres, it says that it fell along a hard path and the birds came and they ate it up. And other fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil and it sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. And when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants out and kept them from yielding the fruit that they could have accomplished. Other seed, it says, fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So the atmosphere of the seeds that God has sown into your life will oftentimes determine how effectively they spring forth and the level of fruit and enjoyment that you get to experience from the seeds. Listen, there are seeds of destiny, potential, and purpose in the life of every person. But that does not mean that you are insured to experience them springing forth in your life. It doesn't mean that you are guaranteed to experience the joy of seeing some of the things that God desires to do in your life and has intended to do in your life. It doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to experience the fruitfulness of it. It doesn't mean that the people around you who are intended to be blessed by what God has done in your life, the seeds that he's planted in your life, there's no guarantee that those things are going to be experienced. The atmosphere over your life is what will determine it. And listen, God sends the seeds. God's the sower of the seeds. But in many times, in many places, and in many ways, we're the keeper. We're the guardians. We're the keepers of this atmosphere over our life. And sometimes it's easy to apprehend. It's easy to understand. It's quite obvious when the atmosphere begins to shift away from a godly atmosphere that yields itself to us growing and enjoying God to an atmosphere that is hindering the presence of God and the movement of God's Spirit in our lives. Sometimes it's obvious when a spirit of strife, an atmosphere of strife enters into your marriage or into your home or into a church. Sometimes it's obvious to tell when an atmosphere of anger and hostility or judgment begins to rise up. Sometimes it's obvious, it's very apparent, it's easy to tell when an atmosphere of anxiety and fear and worry begins to come against you. It's easy to apprehend and tell. But sometimes it's like the proverbial frog in the pot syndrome, that something just begins to just kind of slip into your life. Something just begins to invade and just kind of become a part of the atmosphere over your heart or over your mind. And sometimes it just happens slowly. We've allowed something that was said or done or something that was spoken or something that the enemy perpetrated against us to linger. And we look up and we don't realize, like, when did this happen? I've become critical. I've become judgmental. I've become jealous. I've become angry. How did this happen? And so many times it's obvious, but sometimes it's subtle, and we must learn to discern when the atmosphere over our heart is hindering the seeds that God has sown into our life. So it's possible to shift the atmosphere. This is the good news this morning. When you find yourself in a place where it's either quite obvious or it takes some discernment to really understand that an atmosphere needs to shift or change so that you can begin to reconnect to some things, so that the seeds that God's sown in your life can begin to spring forth once again, it's possible to shift the atmosphere. There are steps that we can take. There are weapons that God has given us. There are steps that we can take and must take. And the atmosphere for breakthrough and growth is always the presence of God. Come on, it's always about more of Jesus in our lives. It's always about reconnecting to the presence of Jesus. It's always about inviting and welcoming once again or in a new way or in a fresh way, the Holy Spirit of God. It's always about welcoming the presence of God. So the steps that we must take are steps that allow us to get in the presence of God. Come on, when just one word from God can calm the storms of your life. Just one moment in the presence of God. Just one touch of healing in your heart from the presence of God can do more. There's good things, and there's times and seasons where we need to enter into counseling and freedom, all those things. But sometimes one word from God, one moment in the presence of God can do more than 6 weeks or 6 months of prolonged something or other. One moment in the presence of God can shift the atmosphere over our life, over our heart, over our mind. The atmosphere is always the presence of God. And in the presence of God is where our faith is renewed and our faith is restored. And I believe that perhaps nothing just encapsulates what that good soil is, where the seeds of God are sown and begin to grow and spring forth. And like Matthew 13 says, yield a multiple and abundant harvest for us, 100 or 60 or 30 times over. Perhaps nothing encapsulates that like the atmosphere of faith. It's by faith, Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith says, by faith, David, by faith, Moses, by faith, these men and women of God accomplished things for God. It's an atmosphere in God's presence where our faith is stirred and restored. Faith, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And in other translations, that word substance is said assurance or confidence. And that word evidence is said assurance, certainty, or conviction. Listen, sometimes there's areas of our life that we understand we need to apply faith to. Our finances. Faith for healing. Let me encourage you with something this morning. Every area of your life, you'll see the work of God and the freedom of God and the breakthrough of God in every area of your life by faith. Some of you need to begin to apply faith to a marriage or to a relationship this morning. Some of you need to begin to ask God to strengthen you to begin to see what can be possible in your marriage. If you'll just hang on, and if you'll just keep trusting God, and if you'll just keep loving, and you'll just keep forgiving, and you'll just keep serving. Come on, that's faith activating in a situation. That's you holding on to some things that you believe God has spoken and you know that he will do, even though you're yet to see it come to pass. Atmosphere of faith is the soil where the seeds of God can spring forth and bear fruit. Listen, I don't care whatever your battle is, fear, anxiety, hopelessness, discouragement, depression, lack, looking to God, putting your trust back in God, seeking your answer from God, getting back into the presence of God, allowing the presence of God to begin to stir your faith, that's always the answer. And I believe God has already done it this morning, but right there in my notes, the Lord just began to just speak to me and just say, there are people here this morning who have been tired or weary. And this morning, there's a fresh faith. There's an atmosphere of hope and faith for you to once again begin to reach out to God. There's an atmosphere this morning for you to be strengthened. There's an atmosphere here for you this morning to once again, where your arms have become weary or grown tired, to begin to be strengthened, to once again begin to reach out to God. And to begin to have your heart softened, where once you reach out to God, as he begins to speak and as he begins to remind and as he begins to reveal and as he begins to heal, as he begins to show you that he's willing to restore and redeem and renew, there's a softening of our hearts to begin to receive it this morning from heaven and begin to see it, begin to shift something in our lives and shift something in our heart. Come on, I'm just speaking it over you this morning. Some of you this morning, you need to hear that. Some of you this morning, you need to receive that. Come on, if that's you this morning, maybe you ought to just put your hands together for God this morning and just receive it. Listen, where you are today is not where God wants you tomorrow. I don't care where you are, good or bad. There's always more of God. And can I just tell you something this morning? There's really only three true outcomes. Listen, a week from now or a year from now, you'll either be closer to God, you'll be in the same place you are today, or you'll be further from God. And there's a lot of different places in between But there's really only three ways. You're either going to be closer to God. Your heart's going to be more alive in God. You're going to be more fully alive and more shining brightly, the fire of God burning alive on the inside of you and compelling you and propelling you to the things of God and the promises of God and the future that you have in God. Or you're going to be just kind of stuck where you are today. Or you're going to have backslidden. You're going to be further from God. There's really each of you, a week from now, a month to now, a year from now, each of you, one of those three things will be true and applicable to each of our lives. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stuck. And I don't know about you, but I for sure don't want to be going backwards. And come on, when you begin to feel yourself being stuck, or you begin to sense the enemy pushing back and you're losing ground, one of the steps that I want to talk to you about today to begin to shift the atmosphere is the atmosphere of prayer. We are called to be a people of prayer. That's one of the things that God has spoken over us, who we're called to be as we're reaching and rescuing people and training them how to reign in Christ and begin to then move out and begin to restore the places that have been broken down as we connect people and rescue people to become part of a spiritual family, to understand their identity in God as our Heavenly Father by Christ Jesus, and to understand that we're called to relate to one another as brothers and sisters, the people of God, that we're called to be as a people of prayer, a people of praise, a people of power by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and a people of purpose, understanding that God's created each one of us uniquely special, and He's called us to a unique purpose and identity and destiny in God. We're called to be a people of prayer. Listen, nothing begins to shift the atmosphere over your life and over your marriage and over your home and over your heart and over your mind like prayer. And the things of God that are powerful and effective for bringing life to us and bringing hope to us and bringing strength to us are the very things that the enemy oftentimes opposes the most. And I think we all can feel it, the opposition and the resistance and the challenge and the struggle and the trial that it can be to begin to enter in and to develop and cultivate a life of prayer. We feel the resistance to that. I mean, is it just me, or can't you just feel sometimes it's like, I don't know how to do it, or I begin to do it and I begin to get distracted. Come on, I start to pray and the enemy just begins to bombard my mind with all these distractions and worries and thoughts and everything, or I don't know how to pray. How do I begin to talk to God? Pastor T, if you knew where I'd been and what I had done, you would know why I feel the way I feel. How could God ever hear my prayers? Listen, be encouraged this morning. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've been through, but you hear me say it often, God does, and it's the very reason that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for your sin, to wash you clean and make you whole and make you free and reconnect you to a life-giving relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's possible to shift the atmosphere. It's possible to shift the atmosphere, and prayer is one of the ways that we begin to shift the atmosphere. Prayer is one of the ways that we begin to see an atmosphere of faith renewed and restored over our life. Romans 10 verse 17 says this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I want to encourage you with something today. I cannot afford to only let what others say shape the atmosphere over my life. You cannot afford to allow what others have said or others continue to say to shape the atmosphere of faith over your life. As the people of God, you and I, we must begin to discover our voices. We must begin to understand that faith comes by hearing. Doesn't mean it just happens on Sundays and Wednesdays. It doesn't have to be a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, an elder, your life group leader. You can begin to discover your own voice and begin to pray and begin to speak the promises of God and the word of God. And sometimes, can I just submit to you that, I mean, there are times, hear me this morning, when we desperately need for our brothers and sisters to rally around us and pray and strengthen us and hold our arms up and speak and declare the promises of God, remind us of some things that God has said and God has done. But perhaps in other seasons, what strengthens our faith more than anything is when we hear our own voice beginning to pray. We hear our own voice in the midst of challenges and opposition and trials and tribulations and storms of life. Jesus said, that video said, we would have those things, but we could be of good cheer because He's overcome the world. In the midst of all that, we just begin to discover our voice, and we begin to establish an atmosphere. We begin to renew and restore an atmosphere of faith over our life as we discover our voice and begin to pray. As we discover our voice and begin to declare the promises of God, as we discover our voice and begin to praise, the atmosphere can begin
to shift. Listen, you can't control what others are going to say. You can't control what they're going to say. Listen, haters going to hate. You can't control what other people are going to say. But you do have control over what you hear yourself say. You do have control over the things that you speak over your life and your marriage and your family. Come on, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of agreeing with the enemy. And I'm asking God for the grace to begin to see and identify those places where I've lended my own voice to speak negativity or speak curse or speak death or speak destruction over my own life, my family, my marriage, my finances, whatever it is. And I'm asking God to begin to grace me and begin to show me and begin to strengthen me to begin to re-engage with speaking out only the words of God, the promises of God, the life of God, and in the presence of God. Prayer, along with maybe praise, and we'll talk about that in the next few weeks. We'll talk about several P's. Actually, you know how I like my alliterations. Several P's that are action steps to shift the atmosphere. Prayer and praise and promises, which has to do with the word of God and people, which has to do with the crowd you run with, the posse you hang with. But today we're just focusing on prayer, that prayer, like maybe nothing else, shifts the atmosphere over our heart, begins to restore and renew an atmosphere of faith. Listen, prayer is an intentional pause. It's that timeout, like I talked about a couple of weeks ago, when you feel like the momentum in the game has shifted and you're beginning to get left behind and the score is beginning to mount and tally. You get that timeout, you know, like a good coach calls, and you begin to just say intentionally, I'm calling a timeout and I'm going to begin to take back the momentum of my life, and I'm going to begin to speak and declare and pray the word of God. I'm going to begin to speak and pray and declare the promises of God over my life until the momentum begins to swing back into my favor, until I break the huddle and begin to get back into the game, and my shot begins to fall, and I begin to reverse the momentum of the game of life. Prayer is an intentional pause to remind yourself of God's faithfulness, to call upon his goodness, to call upon and declare his deliverance, his protection, his provision, and his promises. And listen, prayer is a privilege and an invitation. It's not a requirement or a burden. It's not the, hear me this morning, sometimes it's helpful for us, just like with revival, it's helpful for us to understand better what something is by kind of ruling out some things that it isn't. And the enemy has come to try to convince us that prayer is this monologue of a religious ritual. And it's why sometimes we struggle. It feels like an uphill battle to pray. It feels like we're pushing something uphill. And sometimes it's because we bought into that lie that it's this monologue of religious ritual, when really prayer is the conversation. It's a privilege and an invitation to a conversation of an amazing relationship with a good Heavenly Father. When we begin to see it this way, it allows us to begin to engage and enter in. It allows us to begin to discover a confidence and a voice that maybe we haven't had before in our prayer life. And listen, whether you're in good times or bad, I'm encouraging you to pray. James 5:13 says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Listen, sometimes when you hit rock bottom, that's when you begin to look up. Sometimes from rock bottom, that's the place where you finally begin to discover that life is only going to be found as you hold on and you anchor yourself to the rock. If you're in a tight place, if you're in a tough spot, if you're in a trial, if you're in a tribulation this morning, I'm telling you, that prayer is for you. The enemy lies and he says, if God knows where you've been and what you've done and what you said and what you did in the dark, and the enemy tries to lie and say, God doesn't hear your prayers and he doesn't care what you say and how could he answer your prayers? I'm telling you, God is an ever-present help in a time of need. And throughout this Bible, he's rescued people through thick and thin, he's rescued people from hopeless situations and circumstances. Some of them people even brought upon themselves through foolish living, rebellious hearts, and pride. And God still delights in taking and removing the burdens off of his people, even those that we bring upon ourselves. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Come on, when the enemy begins to tell you that you're not good enough, that you're not holy enough, you're not righteous enough, you know what? Sometimes it just sets you free to just say, you know what? Enemy, you're right, I'm not. But that's not the standard that God's looking at me through anymore. It's only because of Jesus Christ. You're right, enemy, I'm not good enough. You're right, enemy, I did stumble. You're right, enemy, I did fall. You're right, enemy, I still stumble. But it's the blood of Jesus that God is seeing me through today. And it's his. Yes, come on, if you're going to praise God, praise him with a shout of triumph in this place.
Come on, sometimes it just sets you free to just kind of say, you know what, enemy, you're right about that. But Jesus made a way. Jesus paid the price. It's his blood that I'm now seen through. It's his perfection that has now made me whole. Listen, in good times or bad, we need to pray. The Psalms are basically King David's prayer journal. And it's one of the things that I'm so grateful for, that God's just, you've heard me say it before, God's just not scared of the dirt of our lives. He reaches down into dusty, dirty places and he breathes life. He's just not afraid of messy situations. And in the Psalms, David goes through a bunch, man. There's times where he's literally at the rock bottom. There's other times where he's victorious. And Psalm 31 is just a good example of it. And it starts with desperation and it starts with pain. And then it begins to shift as David begins to declare his trust in God, and it ends with him rejoicing in God's faithfulness. And in verse 9 and 10, I'll just read a little bit of it to you from Psalm 31. He says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul, my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction. Because of all my enemies, I'm the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me." Come on, you know you got it bad when people are running from you. "But I trust," there's a big but right here. And some of you, sometimes in the story of your life, you need to be glad that there's a big but. And you need to be willing to say, "But God is, you know what? The story of my life's been going like this, but God. But God." And he says, "But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." Remember what he's writing this, not from a position of strength and where everything is just going well. Nothing's changed yet in his life. He's still in the same place that he was just writing about. He says, "But Lord, I trust in you. You are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I've cried to you. How abundant are the good things you've stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them. You keep them safe in your dwelling place." And he says, "Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. And in my alarm, I said, I'm cut off from your sight, yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, you faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him. He pays back the proud in full, but strong. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Listen, nothing. Dave, it starts out with despair and hopelessness. And David says, "But God, I'm going to put my trust and my hope in you, even in the midst of these circumstances." And then he closes by even just beginning to give thanks. He's reminded of some previous times where God has seen him through and delivered him. And he closes by praising and worship God. And can I remind you, just as I said a moment ago, throughout this psalm, nothing's changed in David's life except the atmosphere over his heart. He's still going through whatever it is that's causing people to run from him at Starbucks. He's still in that same situation that's causing him to fear for his life, and people are coming again. He's still in those same situations. Nothing's shifted or changed in his life except the atmosphere of his heart, because somehow he's stirred the faith to begin to speak and declare and remind himself of who God is, what God's done, and what God will do. And in the midst of his trial, he begins to praise God. And something begins to shift and change. God's calling us to shift the atmosphere. Listen, how many of us have just kind of gotten stuck in that place of despair or depression or fear or worry or lack or anxiety? And those things are going to come against you, but I'm just encouraging you that God wants to shorten the time that you have to dwell in those places. I remember times in my life where I'd get that kind of a spirit that would come against me or come upon me, attack my mind, attack my heart.
And I would go through lengthy times where I just kind of allowed that to hover over me as an atmosphere, just hindering me and stealing my joy, keeping me from enjoying the fullness of my relationship with God, keeping me from living fully alive and shining brightly in God's presence and his purpose. And I want to become better at more quickly just recognizing those things and beginning to say, I'm shifting the atmosphere. I'm calling a timeout, and I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to begin to reset my heart. I'm going to begin to reset the atmosphere so that God can begin to deliver me and begin to see me through. Prayer shifts the atmosphere over your heart and over your life. And listen, I don't know about you, but I think our prayer lives need to look more like David's. He ran to God in his tough times. How many times we tend to hide? We're going through some stuff, and we tend to hide our heart. We tend to close our heart. We tend to run or flee from God. We need, in those seasons, that's the very time where we need to run to God. Listen, I want to ask you a question. Will you have a little fun with me just for a minute? I'm going somewhere with this, okay? If your life was to be described as a vehicle, like a car, a truck, an SUV, a Jeep, or whatever, if your life was to be described as a vehicle, what kind of vehicle would it be? Your life. Just think about it. Like, what would you say? Like, what vehicle would represent who you are? Like, are you a sports car? Like, you're really fast and you cost a lot? Husbands, do not elbow your wife. Or are you a truck? Like, you're utility, you know, and like you're a good friend to have. Like, when people move, they call you, you know. Or maybe you'd be a minivan. Like, you're really versatile, and you're really you're versatile, and you are. Huh? Awesome. You're really versatile, and you're really practical, and you can help. You carry a lot of people in you, you know. And people didn't realize you were cool until they got a little older. Now they're realizing you're the very thing that they need in your life. Well, now let me ask you another question. Regardless of what you said right there, sports car, SUV, minivan, truck, Jeep, regardless of what you said right there, in the vehicle of your life, what part of your vehicle would prayer be best described as? Would prayer be better described as the spare tire of your life or the steering wheel of your life? Would prayer be better described as the emergency flashers of your life or the GPS of your life? See, God wants us praying in good times and bad, but many of us have relegated something that God's intended to be the windshield and the GPS, and we've been stowing it in the trunk. We get it out every now and then whenever we have a flat. And hear me this morning. Can I ask the worship team to come up and prepare to help us dismiss with a song this morning? Listen, when you have a flat in life, God does need to be the place that you turn in prayer. I want to encourage you this morning that prayer is an invitation to establishing an atmosphere over your life that causes you to begin to move forward into the promises of God, the purposes of God, the destiny of God. God intends for prayer to be so much more than just a spare tire, so much more than just the emergency feature. God intends for prayer to be a steering wheel, a GPS, a windshield. It intends to be something that's leading you forward. It's intended to be something that creates an atmosphere where you can begin to experience the life and the growth and the freedom and the hope and the breakthrough of God in every area of your life, your health, your mind, your heart, your marriage, your family, your business, your finances, whatever it is. Thank you, God. I just want to close right there by asking you another question.
How would you describe prayer in your life? When you're going through a trial, when you're going through a problem, do you pray? Is it possible that you could, in a new way or a fresh way, begin to see prayer differently as an invitation to a conversation in an amazing relationship with a good Heavenly Father that's trying to lead you into His purposes and His promises? Or maybe previously you've just seen it as a religious ritual, a monologue, a one-sided affair. Is it possible today that you could make a renewed commitment to discerning atmospheres over your life or over your marriage? And that you could make a renewed resolve to say, when that begins, when that atmosphere of strife or when that atmosphere of anger or hostility or when that atmosphere of judgment begins to try to come in, I'm going to ask God to help me, to strengthen me, to grace me, to do a better job at calling a timeout and just hitting my knees in prayer. And recentering, pushing reset, reestablishing an atmosphere where the enemy is pushed out in all the ways that he would like to come in and just kind of take root or take hold or hijack something that God's doing in your life or, again, your marriage, your family, whatever area it is for you. So here's what I want to do this morning is I want us to declare this song. And I just feel like I'll come up and I'll close this here in a minute, or Pastor Eli will. And we'll give you an opportunity to come forward. But I just think there's an opportunity for all of us to make that kind of a commitment this morning. Would you stand and prepare to worship God? And as we worship Him with this one last song before we're dismissed today, can I ask you, where you stand this morning, to just make that resolve? Ask God to just reveal to you and strengthen your resolve to embrace the invitation to prayer, to embrace the invitation to see God's best atmosphere over your heart and over your life. Amen.